Welcome back to eMoney's Knowledge Base Podcast. I'm Kate, your podcast host and part of the e-learning team here at eMoney. Today I'm joined by eMoney's Brett Tharp, advisory training specialist and a certified financial planner. Brett's diving into everything annuities today. We're talking about everything from the details around entering an annuity in the application to some exciting annuity updates within eMoney and the value you can expect to receive from them in planning for your clients. So let's get to my conversation with Brett. Hey, Brett, thanks so much for joining the podcast today. Can you start by telling our listeners who you are and what you do here at eMoney?
Surely. So my name is Brett Tharp. I'm an advisory training specialist, and I'm going on almost 12 years at eMoney, and I've also been a CFP professional for almost 10 years. My primary roles and responsibilities as our advisory training specialist is to help lead our training department, but also be a resource for not just our department, but the rest of our client service business unit to assist other team members, to help with more advanced application of the software and some of those, you know, exceptions to the rule or curveballs that we typically come across in financial planning.
Wow, 12 years is so exciting. I'm sure you've seen a lot happen at eMoney in the last decade plus. So thank you for giving our listeners a little bit of information about who you are and some of the work that you've had the chance to do during your time at eMoney. Today, we are going to be talking all about annuities. So while we do like to focus on really those kind of more in-depth things that users can do with certain parts of the application on our podcast, I do want to give users a little bit of just like basic information in case they're not super familiar with annuities in eMoney. So where can a user enter an annuity in the application?
Sure. So annuities are going to be found in the basic facts as well as the advanced fact view. If you go in the advanced facts under investments, you'll see a section for annuities there. Whereas in the basic view, you can go to net worth. And then when you hit the add button, you'll be able to select various options, one of them being an annuity.
Awesome. And obviously, you and I would assume most of our listeners are well aware that there are several different types of annuities. So are there different ways to enter the different annuities in eMoney? Or are there different tips and tricks that you have depending on what type of annuity the advisor is working with?
Absolutely. So yes, you hit the nail on the head. There are many different types of annuities that are offered by the different financial institutions and firms that give these types of products. So as a result, in eMoney, there are several different ways and types of models, and I'll be happy to share with you towards the end an exciting development at eMoney regarding annuities. But going back to your question, yeah, there's different ways, different strokes for different folks. What I try to recommend is as a baseline, as annuities are typically very nuanced and complex financial products, whenever we can try to infuse a simplicity into the client's plan, I think we should at least consider it. There are simple ways to input an annuity. There are more complicated ways that involve using the guarantees tab that looks at some of these theoretical and some of the attributes and yeah, attractive portion of an annuity are some of these guarantees and whatnot. It can be sometimes difficult to model all that stuff directly. So whenever you can, I think if you start out kind of slow, right, let's focus on, you know, the income or the withdrawals, which is typically, you know, the most important aspect of the annuity. I think you want to focus there. And oftentimes we tend to get several different illustrations inside of a annuity projection. And it's sometimes difficult to know, well, how should I model this? Which one should I use? I typically say go with the more most conservative projection that is included in that illustration. Kind of, you know, we're going to hope for the best, but plan for the worst. Let's show this annuity basically running out of value or getting exhausted. That way we can demonstrate that, okay, these guarantees are going to kick in. And then in reality, you know, the annuity hopefully doesn't perform that poorly. You're basically looking better in your client's eyes. You're under-promising and over-delivering.
I love the hope for the best and plan for the worst. I imagine that's something that a lot of advisors focus on with the work that they're doing with clients. So diving into, you know, those use cases a little bit more, a common use case for advisors is modeling a plan to pitch clients on the value of a hypothetical annuity. So how do you recommend advisors really best model such an annuity without all of the nitty-gritty details that are typically found within that annuity contract?
Sure. Yeah. So building off of what we've already kind of talked about with, you know, starting simple since these are complicated, finding a conservative projection to work off of. Once you do that, when it comes into actually modeling the different annuities inside of eMoney, first of all, since it sounds like this is going to be a new vehicle option for the client, you most likely would want to model this in an advanced plan where you can show a transfer flow that purchases or funds the annuity from an existing asset. We can then go to the guarantees. We can then add another transfer flow, which will help show the withdrawals or the distributions. And then there's a fourth step that I'll talk about. But without getting too much into the nitty-gritty details, there's one specific option in the guarantees tab for a more simple approach. And that's when you opt to specify guarantees as a future base value. Usually there'll be two options there, future base value and rider definitions. Rider definitions looks for more detail, which can, that gets into the nitty gritty. However, with the future base value, what you can decide here is if you know the first year's payment, you can essentially fit that into the guarantees tab by saying the guaranteed withdrawal amount is 100% of whatever that manual payment is going to be. And so it's an easier way to, again, account for the annuity, the distributions, getting those to be accurate in line with what's in the illustration.
We talk a lot about that type of how can advisors really see like what they're the main things that they're looking for when there is so much information at their fingertips. Sometimes it's hard to get a grasp on what really needs to be the centerpiece of what they're looking at. And there are so many different parts of the application to work with. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, where to enter that annuity. But the reality is when you enter that annuity, it then can, of course, bleed into other parts of eMoney. And you're going to see those effects, I assume. So when an advisor does do that and they have the chance to enter that annuity in the application, what other parts of the application are they able to see the effects of that annuity in?
Yeah, awesome question. So it's going to be reflected in several places, right? I would say the very first place that you'll want to check out for yourself almost every single time is going into our reports. And I would leverage, if it's available to you, the annuities report. I think it's a great tool, right, to verify all of those inputs that you've used to account for the aspects of the annuity, right? We'll basically show a cash flow projection for just that annuity based upon all the details that have been entered. And it's a great way to just reference that to the actual illustration, whichever projection that you're going to use, to make sure that, again, hopefully the income or withdrawal values are all matching up and lining up exactly. You're not going to have everything else lined up exactly, but that's probably the best place to go first to just centralize in on just the annuity. That said, there are plenty of other reports, and if you don't have the annuities report, that's A-okay because you can still go to cash flow. And you should probably go to cash flow anyways, because it is the bread and butter of eMoney. So we could certainly go into cash flow depending on how we're modeling the distributions, whether it's an annuitization type of income or withdrawals. We might see, you know, the income come into a different column, but it's still going to be an inflow regardless, right? That's how we can verify and just make sure that the payment amount matches or is what we expect it to be. But then from there, since, you know, the cash flow is running all the different other tools and collaboration tools that we have, like Goal Planner and Decision Center, you will also see you know, the impact of that annuity in these other tools. That said, I think it's important for everyone listening to understand that an annuity on its own is not really a wealth accumulation type of a strategy. Instead, you're trying to mitigate risk from the market and replace that with having guaranteed or fixed income. So we typically, all things else being equal, don't see an improvement from a total portfolio asset standpoint in Decision Center. Okay, there are some ways to get around that, and that's going to be primarily driven by the growth rates of the new vehicle. But that said, again, I typically suggest being conservative and not having, you know, a lot of growth. So again, that we can kind of show that the annuity actually going away and having those guarantees come in. So that's one aspect in the Decision Center, right? Just from that straight line cash flow perspective. But also, you need to be mindful of what the Monte Carlo results are. In general, all things being equal, if we take advantage of a plan where we're getting more guaranteed income, where we're not relying on the market, well, when the Monte Carlo is doing its unexpected returns, those years where there's a poor market performance, right, we have added protection because of the annuity. But that said, again, how you input that annuity, if, again, we say no growth and take that most conservative approach, it may not automatically lead to an improvement in the Monte Carlo score or likelihood of success. Maybe we see a focus or a curtailed spray of results, right? So maybe the minimum and maximum Monte Carlo ending values, right? Maybe though there aren't as wide of gaps between these compared to a base plan. Maybe the cone gets a little bit tighter, but again, I wouldn't necessarily always assume to see a Monte Carlo improvement. Typically, what you'll need to do, again, it comes down to some of the growth rates and making sure that, okay, maybe a fund where we're taking money from to fund that annuity, if that's growing at, let's just say 6%, well, then the annuity, if I want to keep things apples to apples, I should probably have it grow at 6%. So it's an apples to apples comparison when I'm comparing the two base facts versus this annuity type of a strategy. So long answer, you can certainly see it in a lot of different places and definitely want to level set on just the expectation for what the impact is going to be, because it is not every situation do we always see a positive improvement either from a straight line total portfolio asset standpoint nor from a Monte Carlo or probability distribution.
I think that your answer was super insightful into really giving the advisors that comprehensive look rather than just, you know, here's like one area of the application where you could see the effect of this. There are so many different areas and there are so many different parts that it does have an impact on. So I think that you just left advisors hopefully with some really a great understanding of what to expect when they enter an annuity, any money. And I'm happy that you mentioned Monte Carlo because my next question does have to do with that. And so with these annuities, a lot of them can have these upside maximums or caps and downside floors. How is that illustrated within Monte Carlo?
Yeah, so this is a question that it's very valid, and I'm glad that we're talking about it here today. To be clear, right, with our Monte Carlo, let's just level set. The Monte Carlo simulation is doing 1,000 cash flow projections where we vary any asset that is tied to, well, any portfolio asset, excuse me, that is tied its growth to a model portfolio, right? It's going to vary in accordance with the historical data of the asset classes and indices inside of that portfolio, right, to show unexpected returns over each year of all 1,000 simulations or cash flow projections. So there's a lot going on in the Monte Carlo. And sometimes we do get the questions like, how can I see exactly, you know, how this one asset or this one item, how its impact on the Monte Carlo? To be clear, it can be difficult to do that just because the sheer amount of information that you're looking to analyze, right? Let's just say as a client in their 50s, they're going to live for another 40 years. So that's 40 years for both client and spouse, 1,000 simulations, and we're going to vary the returns in every single one of those years of every one of those 1,000 simulations. So it's a lot for you to try to have to slice and dice and understand. But all of that being said, we will take into account some of the more granular aspects or unique aspects, I should say, of an annuity in the Monte Carlo. So, for example, let's think of it like this, Kate. If we have an annuity that's worth $100,000 and it's going to grow from the straight line perspective at 5%, let's just make that case. Well, if we then go into the guarantees tab of the annuity, there is a way to say, hey, do a high watermark and base that high watermark value off of the higher of either the market value, so the $100,000 growing at 5%, or some type of internal value and internal return. That internal value or theoretical value, it's sometimes referred to as well, and theoretical return, if it's also $100,000, let's just say the guaranteed return is only 4%. Well, in the straight line, our 5% pre- and post-retirement growth rate on the market value is always going to outpace the 4% theoretical return. So from the straight line, it really doesn't matter. Like, whichever one's higher, we're always going to keep that one higher. So we're not going to really need to lock in the higher of the two each year. However, when it comes to the Monte Carlo, which will vary all the returns and everything, I have tested and done Excel sheets in this way earlier in my tenure here at eMoney. I do know that we are taking that into account. So for example, in one of the Monte Carlo trial runs, maybe that $100,000 current value, let's just say the first year, there's a 20% drop in, you know, for whatever reason for that asset. Okay, instead, right, of the theoretical value dropping as well, that will automatically grow that 4%, $104,000 versus, let's just say, 20% drop, the contract value, the market value of the annuity is only $80,000. Well, then we'll lock in the higher of the two in the Monte Carlo. And we do that every single year, every single trial run or projection cash flow simulation of the Monte Carlo. So it, I can guarantee you, it is going on behind the scenes. It can just be very difficult if you're trying to focus and just find just the annuity kind of impact in one of those trial runs. What I would say, if you are looking to do that, if you want to do some testing yourself, which is A-okay, what I would highly encourage you to do is not even using a sample client. I would add a blank client where there's only one fact, which is the annuity, right? We could then put in maybe, you know, some expenses just so that we show, you know, some type of outflow. But we want to have a very quiet or a client that doesn't have a lot of stuff going on so that we're basically just looking at, hey, how this annuity performs. And then you can adjust different aspects of the guarantees tab to show, okay, either high watermark kicking in or different types of guaranteed returns or a simpler or compounding type of return. We can see what the impacts are going to be just in that, you know, annuity client, because again, there's nothing else really going on. That could be an approach to take if you do want to do further testing.
Great advice to have that, and a lot of our sample clients do have a lot going on. So,
oh, yes.
So it really helps to hopefully have that more, I guess, like you said, like blank client with less happening, so they can really see the effects of that siloed piece of information. With that, obviously, you can have these clients where there is a lot to maybe check in on, maintain within the application. Regarding annuities, when an advisor goes ahead and they enter that annuity into eMoney, is that something that they then need to kind of maintain when doing work in the application? Or can that really be a set it and forget it type of entry among all of the information that they're entering?
I think it more so comes down to, how did we input or enter the annuity? Was it from a connection where we're bringing it over and therefore we're getting updates to the account value automatically? Or is it a manual entry? If it's a manual entry, nothing wrong with that, but that will require a little bit more maintenance because as the market moves, as the sub-accounts in the annuity, as those values change, right, you'd want to reflect it just so you have the most up-to-date information on your side. So again, manual facts, manual entries for annuities, you know, you would want to do that periodically, whereas the connection is a little bit more of a set it and forget it because, again, the account values and that associated information will update automatically, typically overnight. When it comes to the actual data entry, though, related to the guarantees tab and any transfer flows and things of that nature. It is probably more of a set it and forget it. I don't always like using those words because in financial planning, right, nothing is certain. And the only guarantee is that things are going to change. And the only, the answer to every question is it depends. I don't want to leave the audience thinking that, okay, once it's entered, it's kind of set and forget it. I really don't need to pay attention. No, you still certainly need to do. But what I would say is more solidified, if you will, once it's entered initially, is the information in the guarantees tab. Typically, that information is not changing. It's based off of this particular product. It's including the attributes that the client is taking advantage of. And those don't generally change. But what very well could change, right? And this is maybe something to continue to analyze. Different annuities sometimes have different provisions in terms of, okay, if I take a payment at age 65 versus if I take, my first year payment at age 70 or 75, sometimes there are age bands that show maybe a higher amount that you can access the later or the longer you wait. It's almost like Social Security and delaying and trying to maximize the Social Security payment by delaying. There are these types of attributes or characteristics inside of an annuity. So if that attribute was something an annuity that you place for a client, well, then you might need to continue to kind of refine that. And every once in a while, okay, let's do an analysis to see if we take it at age 65 at this rate, age 70 at that rate. So that maybe could change a little bit. But everything else other than that, it should be fairly, straightforward and shouldn't require ongoing maintenance to a very high degree.
Something you said in that last answer made me think of another question. Just kind of talking a little bit about the differences between that more automated, you bring that annuity in through a connection versus that more manual entry. Is there a best practice or recommended frequency to which an advisor would maintain that annuity or check in? Is that something that should be done, yearly or bi-yearly, semi-annually? Is there a recommended practice?
Yeah, I think ultimately this is going to be dictated, I think, by just how important this relationship is. If this is one of our top 10, top 5 client relationships, it might warrant us to spend a little bit more time on an ongoing basis with this profile, right? With this client. So in that case, I don't think you need to do it much more frequently than a monthly update. I think that would be fine. Again, if you manually enter, because these values could change every single day, I don't think there's a ton of value in changing every single day. I think that's going to be a huge time sink for little value gained. Okay. So instead, I would maybe say, okay, let's just update. Maybe we put some type of alert or something to remind us to update values at month end for our clients that have annuities that are just manually entered. Maybe something like that makes sense and isn't too much of a time sink, but still allows you to have the most updated information for when you're doing your planning. But with all that said, if there is a best practice, connecting versus a manual entry, 99 times out of 100, you want to try to leverage the connection just because it's going to take that work off you and the advisor's team or the client, right? It's not going to be, it's not on anyone's shoulders. It's instead on the aggregation, to update that. It'll happen overnight for the most part or every single day. So I think if and when you can, the best practice is going to be connect it when you can. And if not, that's still a-okay. And then maybe determine it yourself.
Right.
I'd say no more frequently than a monthly basis. But, I'm sure there might be situations where someone could make a valid argument for much more closer monitoring. So, but if it's, again, probably the standard type of situation, monthly might be too frequently for that even. So maybe just like a quarterly update just so that, okay, we're round numbers working with the same or the appropriate values that dictate, okay, some of the distribution that's going to occur later on.
I just think it's nice for advisors to hear straight from the mouth of someone at eMoney, hey, like, we recommend utilizing the connections feature, being able to enter annuities through that way so that it does take that work off their shoulders, and that they don't have to do as much of that manual maintenance. What is the most valuable piece of advice you can give to the advisor who frequently enters annuities into eMoney?
Whew, where do I begin now?
I know, and that's outside of the gem that you just left them with of, if you are frequently using eMoney for annuities, utilize that connections feature. So you're giving them another piece of advice.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, I'm full of it here, so I'll be happy to supply and, you know, talk as much as I can about some of these more efficient strategies or just ways to get, you know, the most out of the technology here. So if you recall, when I kind of alluded to creating annuity is typically a four-step process. It's not always a four-step process. The four steps, generally speaking, first step, you need to purchase or fund, right? So we can use a transfer flow to accomplish that. Second step is, hey, we need this new annuity itself. And actually, you might want to actually add the annuity first just so that we can transfer money into it, okay? So I'll flip those two. So let's first create the annuity, the shell. Let's then create a transfer flow that can move money into it. The third step is then creating a second transfer flow to show the distributions coming out. And the fourth step that often gets overlooked is protecting the annuity from automatic cash flow liquidation in the event of a cash flow shortfall in any year of the projection. As we know in eMoney, right, we are a cash flow engine. And if our outflows exceed our inflows, we need to fund that deficit. And we will look to take from existing portfolio assets. And we have a liquidation strategy, a default, that typically makes sense, that says, hey, we'll start with our cash accounts, let's go to taxable investments next, and then from there we get into other types of accounts that have, you know, preferential tax treatment and the like. Okay, but generally speaking, it makes sense just from a cash, a liquidity, and just a lower tax impact. When you exclude the annuity from that automatic liquidation, you basically tell the system that after it gets through the cash, after it gets through taxable and whatever else, annuities eventually are on, you know, this pecking order. Well, if we say exclude this asset, protect it from this automatic liquidation, then we will not touch the simulation, will not touch the asset for any cash flow funding needs. So it won't be used to fund negative cash flow in a given year. That protects these guarantees, because a lot of times with an annuity, you have very strict rules to follow in order to take advantage of these guarantees. And if you do not follow the rules, then you lose access again to these features and guarantees. So a valuable piece, in addition to a lot of the stuff I've mentioned already, is don't forget to exclude the annuity from liquidation, because again, we don't want the simulation to think it's an available asset that can just be tapped into, because that's not how it works in reality. So I would say definitely don't forget that piece.
Got it. Thank you so much. I know that you have given advisors a lot to leave today with in terms of both information and advice when it comes to entering annuities into eMoney. So I do want to leave them with a little bit more information on the exciting updates that we have related to annuities. So we just had some very exciting new updates specifically related to annuities. Can you speak to those and give listeners an idea of what they can really expect to continue to see, what they maybe have already seen a little bit of, and what value it may have for them?
Absolutely. So we're very, very excited to be expanding our abilities, particularly to demonstrate different features and aspects of the annuity that you're trying to model in our software. Now, depending on the version of the software that you have, you may or may not have access to this already, but either again, right now or very soon, you will be able to utilize the Credit Strategy tab. This is a brand new tab available in the annuity fact type. And it's going to allow you to capture additional variables and features, really, that are associated with this more modern type of annuity. Rates like a cap rate, step or trigger rates. There's a participation rate, also rates that help against the downside turns or negative returns that the market might come. So floor rates and buffer rates, and maybe if there's a dual direction type of feature as well. And the value here is that we're going to be able to better simulate and portray this particular annuity product in our software. As we probably know, there are many different versions of annuities that are offered by a lot of different types of providers. And so this is just one more step in us at eMoney making it easier for you to demonstrate the features and the impact that this type of particular product might have. And so again, should be available now to our retail users, but if you're under a enterprise type of relationship, there typically is a little bit more review that needs to happen. And so once that review gets approved, then it'll be available in your access, and it should be very, very soon, again, for anyone who doesn't have it already. We will be certainly making more information available. And the last thing I'll try to maybe plug here is, you know, if there are questions about anything that I talked about today in the application, how can you find out more information? Definitely check out the help and training menus. And in fact, we'll be adding more information to help you understand just what this new annuity release is. We'll be adding more content in there now and in the future, right? We have a training webinar on annuities that eventually we will be including these new enhancements in there as well. So just know that there is still going to be a wealth of information that you can find on your own, or you can always contact customer support. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern to 8 p.m. Pacific. And that's how you can always get further assistance from your friends at eMoney.
Brett, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to leave our listeners with?
No, I'll just do a quick summary. Again, Kate, thank you for this. I had a lot of fun, and you know, maybe there'll be some further opportunities for us to collaborate in the future. So that said, just the summary here, I think it's important, the takeaways. Every annuity is different. We're doing what we can to allow you to model and feature all these different types of capabilities of an annuity. Okay, and you know, more to come on that. But these can be complicated. It's oftentimes a multi-step process. Each one of these is always different. And again, illustrations that we have show 4, 5, 6, 7 different projections. So whenever you're trying to think, what should I be modeling? I would say start conservatively, plan for the worst. That way you'll look better in your client's eyes when things inevitably work out better in reality. And yeah, just can't stress it enough. The connections are so helpful just in general. And when you have those questions, don't hesitate. Get in touch with us because we want to help, whether it's our help self-paced information that you can get on your own or by speaking with someone contacting our client support. I'll leave you with that. And yeah, thanks, Kate. I had a lot of fun today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited and eager for our listeners to hear more from you, Brett. And yes, there's never a shortage of people to answer questions or information to be covered, whether it's on annuities, eMoney, or some other topic within the application. So I'm confident that we are leaving them in good hands. But thank you so much for joining.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Knowledge Base Podcast. If you enjoyed my conversation with Brett, you're going to want to come back for another episode soon because you'll be hearing more from Brett with fun guests and new topics to talk about. Remember that if you have something you'd like us to cover on the podcast, send us a message at knowledgebasecontent@emoneyadvisor.com. We'd love to hear from you. And until then, we'll catch you on another episode soon.